The opening crawl of this movie makes it very clear that there is no sound in space, you know, so like if you screamed, no one would hear it. In space, we are led to believe no one can hear you scream. We did Alien like 2 years ago, so this is Gravity, which was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hi, I'm Sean Collier. I'm here with a band getting absolutely upstaged by Shirley MacLaine. It's Camila Adams.
Hello.
And Robin Hitchcock.
Love me.
Yeah, that's the last time any of us will think about or acknowledge Some Came Running, a movie that... it's just there.
It exists.
It's funny because I saw my notes last. I was looking into the show notes last week and I saw the title, Some Come Running. I was like, what was that?
I've never heard of Some Came Running before. I recorded a whole show about it in the last 2 weeks? It doesn't seem right.
I might actually hold a grudge against that movie. So I will think about fair. It again, unfortunately. And also fortunately, because I'll sometimes think about Shirley MacLaine. I'll
look back in anger. Yeah. 36 we gave that movie. That is slightly better than Howard Stern's Private Parts and slightly worse than Jean-Claude Van Damme in Maximum Risk. Exactly what they were going for.
Gracious. Yikes. I forgot about Maximum Risk.
I think I rated Maximum Risk too high because I had so much fun.
Oh, it's you're here for dad action.
Yeah.
But now,
a
movie that, you know, when something's about 10 years old, it kind of goes into a weird memory gap a little bit more than...
That's such a good point. It really was strange how much this movie felt 10 years old while I was watching it. Like,
yeah.
Believe it or not, some of the effects are dated.
Starting
which
to.
Truly surprised me. I was not expecting that at all. And then additionally, just little aesthetic choices, like the font that they use. Like, just, I was like, oh, this is very 2013.
This is very 2013. A thing that we could say and make sense a little bit. But I kind of forgot that this was a giant hit. Culturally relevant movie.
I think that it's probably fallen in relevance because it's so unpleasant to watch. So
it is a trial of sorts.
So it's not like something that people are going to be like, you know what, I'm going to watch. I have time to revisit Gravity.
Never.
Like, I was parked outside the... Well, we're recording in Camila's house, by the way.
Might sound a little different.
We are outside the studio. So I was parked outside Camila's house, and I was like, oh, I don't really remember what was in the trailer. Turn on the trailer, and for like 3 minutes, my heart was racing. Just from 2 minutes of trailer that I'd already seen. I'm not going to cut in the trailer just now. We'll save it for later.
Yeah, we'll get into my history with this film. Later. I'm getting over a cold, so the simple difference between the words later and before might not register in my brain right now. But I certainly liked it a lot at the time. I don't think I saw it twice. I think I saw it once, probably at a screening, and then, you know, thumbs up and moved on. Robin, you have more of a history?
As I said, I think that this made it into the episode last week. I had just around this time started doing the Oscars quest or the Oscars death race as best I could. So I definitely was going to see this movie. And I kept telling my husband on date nights, like, hey, do you want to go see Gravity? And he kept being like, no. and furthermore, you don't want to see Gravity. And he eventually talked me out of seeing it in the theater. I did that thing that I do where I'm like, I don't want, like I did with Oppenheimer. I'm like, I don't want anyone to think that I don't like this movie because I watched it on the wrong screen, right? So I did watch it on the wrong screen the 2 times I've seen it, in which I mean I've watched it on a television set. Yeah. So
did it get better from your probably kind of crappy South Africa TV to your pretty good home TV now?
No.
Okay.
Like we said, some of the effects are kind of dated.
Camila, what was had you seen this before?
No.
Oh.
Did you see Camila's Letterboxd today? I screenshotted it, sent it to Jamila, and said, I can't wait to record.
What's funny is that I had like literally just hit like, yes, send, and then like I got that text for you. It was like, damn, that was like 30 seconds.
Because often the days we record, I spend a little time updating my letterbox for the You Can't Handle the Truth part. So that's why.
So no, I had not seen this movie. I had no interest to watch this movie in watching this movie, despite it being George Clooney and Sandra Bullock. It just like didn't. There was nothing about it that intrigued me at all. I'm like, I don't need that in my life.
And now that you've watched it,
I don't need that in my life.
Let's save more of that for after the segments. Is it your recap?
It's mine.
It's Robin's recap.
I mean, this should take about 30 seconds.
I was just going to say, I didn't even practice this one because it's short. Are we ready?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
All right. Sandra Bullock is the obnoxiously named Dr. Ryan Stone, and this is her first space rodeo. She's with seasoned astronaut Matt Kowalski, played by George Clooney, in Doug Ross helping a kid out of a storm drain mode. Space junk fucks their shit up, and they end up adrift in space. 20 or so minutes of motion sickness inducing look what my camera can do, and then Ryan is back on a ship, and Kowalski floats away to die. Many things go wrong in a row. Ryan thinks about her dead daughter. We sit through a lot of birth-death imagery, and a hallucination of Kowalski shows up to convince her to not give up, so she goes through 10 or more so things going wrong until she finally crashes on Earth, stumbles onto a beach. Don't forget to pick up your personal items as you leave the ride.
I didn't even stop timing you until a little while, but it was less than a minute.
Yeah, like literally, I think it was 30 seconds.
I mean, I could have gone through all of the things that went wrong, but I frankly didn't want to revisit it.
Well, also, I don't know all the things that went wrong. Like, I don't understand. Like, it's like watching a training video or like a caution, an astronaut's cautionary tale. It's like, I don't know this language.
Yeah.
None of this means like shit goes bad. Shit gets broken. That's...
The flim flams aren't flim flamming. Right, darn. Yeah.
The phalanges are
There's no phalange.
Oh my God. This plane doesn't even have a phalange.
Before I forget, because it popped into my head as you were recapping, does anyone but me maybe buy into the popular fan theory that at some point she dies and we switch into fantasy mode?
Oh.
The one that people cite is when she turns the oxygen off and the Inuit man is singing to her.
Oh God, that part's so boring.
I was
so confused. I'm like, what is happening right now?
That is the end, and she dies,
God,
and everything else.
I would make really it... hope the afterlife is not like that.
But I would, you know what? I would that would make this movie 10 times more interesting to me if that were the case.
Yeah.
Commit to it is all I have to say.
Yeah. Give me
something. If that's what you want, then tell us that's what's going
right,
on.
Give me something. Yeah. Like, it would have been nice. And then we could have seen like a little girl off in the running on the beach.
Colin said he was like, isn't there a little girl on the beach? And I was like, no.
So wishful
that's just
thinking.
A more interesting choice you made.
Yes.
That would have been.
Actually, that would have annoyed me, to be honest. I feel bad about this, but like one of the things I dislike about this movie is the dead daughter shit. Like, I'm like.
Well, it's
Camila,
it's,
as a mother, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I think it's a cheap ploy to try to make us care about Sandra's character.
Yeah.
And that's all they give us to try to care about her character.
Because women are defined by their motherhood or lack thereof.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it feels a lot like we needed to flesh out this character without adding any runtime. What is the shortest path we can take to...
Right.
Emotions. And, children. Dead ones.
I'm like, wow, that really, all that did was like freak me out. I was like, oh my God, like what? Yes. She tripped on the fucking playground at school and hit her head. Like, that's just.
Right? If you were too busy contemplating the horrors of space, and then they were like, remember, Earth is horrible too.
Right, exactly. You know, you can't be with your kid every second of the day. There was, and then the way give us the, when the dude, when she thinks she's dying and she's like, no one's going to mourn me and no one's going to pray for my soul.
Yeah.
It's also like, okay, why? Just because you...
Do you literally not know anyone?
Right, like you just cut off ties with everybody. Yeah.
But also, you're a famous astronaut. You're gonna, this right. is going to be... Every church in the country, keep in mind the poor souls that died aboard the... No, you're getting prayers.
Yeah, exactly.
They might not be personal, but you're getting them.
Yeah, exactly.
But
I don't, there's going to be a whole day dedicated to the loss of it. And children will have the day off of school. Hopefully nobody's watching at school.
Did Did you see that? The Challenger explosion?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Actually, I think I saw it. I wasn't at school, luckily. I think I stayed home that day for whatever reason.
Oh, okay. But you were still like, obviously we're going to watch this.
Yeah. It's like, what? Huh? And then I remember my mom, I think, turning the, either ushering me out of the room or turning the TV off.
Let's watch Sesame Street. Yeah. Gravity was released October 4th, 2013, the 33rd number one movie of the year, winning its opening weekend with $55.7 million. That set a record for the highest October debut of all time to that point. It has since been broken. But it would hold the record for highest grossing movie released in October until that record was broken by Joker in 2019.
Gross.
But similarly, Oscar darlings. It won 3 weekends in a row at fended off debuts, including Captain Phillips, Machete Kills, Escape Plan, and the Carrie remake failed to knock Gravity out of number one. Finally dropped to number two in its fourth weekend, behind the debuting Oscar nominee Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa. Total of $274 million, the sixth highest grossing film of 2013. Big hit. It is the top grossing film of Sandra Bullock's career.
Wow.
What?
Took the title from Speed.
Wow.
Previous episode subject.
It is the top grossing film of George Clooney's career.
What?
Took the title from Ocean's 11. Previous episode subject. What with the pandemic and all, I think that holds for both of them till this day.
Wow. George Clooney's?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That is shocking.
He has a lot of critical hits. He has a lot of grown-up movies.
And he's also, he's someone who's famous as a celebrity, like Brad Pitt, right? Yeah. Like, it's less his actual career.
Right, yeah.
It's more like who he is to us.
Well, and he doesn't have, Jeff Goldblum has Jurassic Park and... every other 4 out of 5 actors in Hollywood have a Marvel that they did. He doesn't do any of that. I mean, he was in some Batmans, but they didn't hit.
You know what I bet Sandra Bullock's actual highest grossing film is? The Minions movie.
Oh, she was
maybe.
She's the voice of the bad guy in that.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
We'll spend most of our time here. Expensive baubles.
Expensive baubles.
Lord almighty, how many am I going for? Let's start with winners.
Name the 7 Oscars this movie won.
Okay, best director.
Yes.
Let's go cinematography.
Yep.
Visual effects.
Yep.
Sound and sound.
Yep.
Editing?
Yes. That's 6.
Score?
And score.
Boom!
7 for
the
7.
The score's not very good.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I feel like this Oscars, what a weird Oscars, because... As you may recall, Ellen DeGeneres hosted that year. This is the selfie Oscars.
Oh. Okay.
And she said in her opening monologue, she was like, well, we know that either 12 Years a Slave wins or you're all racist. And that's obnoxious.
Yeah, it's
so obnoxious. But it also was, I'm an Oscars dork. It was like the narrative of the Oscars that year.
Really?
Yes. And I'm a defender of 12 Years a Slave. I think that is a movie that white people should watch, and I think it is incredibly well done. I think there are things that happen in that movie that I really dislike. Brad Pitt's involvement, he produced the movie and then he's like, I'm gonna show up and save the day in the last 10 minutes.
Right.
I'm like, ugh, gross.
But I was like, about Lupita, I was like, she's going to be a star.
Yeah. She is immediate you're incredible. Yeah. I want to watch you in everything.
Right.
And also, she's so beautiful. She's in the selfie, as is her brother, in the front of the selfie. Also, unfortunate people who are in the selfie include Kevin Spacey, Jared Leto, and Brad Pitt. Jared Leto's barely in it.
So what are the 3 other nominations that failed
to win? So
it was
also nominated for Best Picture and lost to 12 Years a Slave.
Right.
And Sandra Bullock was nominated and lost to Cate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine, which I don't like. I actually kind of wanted her to win this year. And the third one, I have no idea.
Production design.
Mm. Okay.
Losing to
12 Years a Slave?
The Great Gatsby. No complaints.
Well, yeah, yes, that's correct.
How
accurate.
Nobody should have been. That's not a competition.
Correct.
Let's talk about this Best Pictures race. Because what was actually in it? Obviously, 12 Years a Slave won.
It was just 12 Years a Slave and Gravity. Everybody
was
serious?
It was just those two?
No. Oh. There were 9 or 10 nominees. But it was clearly one of these two movies is going to win.
American Hustle was divisive from the moment it showed up.
Correct.
Captain Phillips maybe could have been in it.
Everyone liked Captain Phillips.
I still haven't seen it.
It's pretty
actually
good.
Really good.
I want to sit down and watch it one day, like, but it's just...
It's pure dad cinema.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it is great dad cinema.
It's been in my Netflix queue forever.
I highly recommend it. It's really good.
I mean, I feel like that was kind of there.
I mean, there's so many dads at the Academy. You can never fully count out that kind of movie.
Dallas Buyers Club was, you're winning 2 acting Oscars here. You can be one of the 10. Her was never really in it. Nebraska was never really in it. Philomena was certainly not in it. And The Wolf of Wall Street, you know, sure, but it was too...
Awful. Yeah. I hate that movie.
I was going to say extreme for... Very few Best Picture winners start with snorting coke out of a sex worker's ass. But as much as I like Gravity a lot, 10 Years, which I'll get into in a minute. I'm sorry, I like this movie a lot. You both knew I would.
Obviously, yeah.
I wasn't sure.
10 years later, I'm like, yeah, the right one of those 10, the correct nominee of those 10 won Best Picture.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It feels more correct to me. I feel, but at the same time, it's not like 12 Years a Slave has a lasting cultural impact.
No, other than that, I don't want to ever see that again.
Yeah, like, neither do I.
Like, I was like sobbing in the fucking theater. Like, and it's just, I don't know. But, and also, like, I remember liking American Hustle when I saw it, but I don't have enough receipts to argue, like, and whether, like, that they were,
the
should have won.
All I really remember about that movie are the wigs and Jennifer Lawrence blowing up the science of it.
Give it to her. Her is great.
Of course you like her. No, her is great.
Her is very... That was fine. We'll land on that one day. No, we won't.
No,
it's
not
a number one movie in America.
Her is not?
No.
That's surprising.
It's a critical darling.
I saw it in a packed theater.
I did,
in Cape Town. Yeah.
Let me skip ahead. I saw it on a screener disc because this was my first year... As a member of then the Broadcast Film Critics Association, this was the first wave of screeners that I got. So I remember this campaign a little bit more clearly. I did have Gravity first on my Best Picture ballot.
I was going to say, when you said that you never thought of it after you wrote your review, I'm like, I bet you did think about it for awards reasons.
Well, yeah, for awards reasons, I did. I had it first. It was nominated. It lost 12 Years a Slave. I had Sandra Bullock third for Best Actress. I had Meryl Streep first for August Osage County and didn't even want to because...
The name of the category is Best
Actress. The name of the category is Best Actress, and Meryl Streep had done some work, so I was like, well, it has to. She lost to Cate Blanchett there as well. I had Coran first for Best Director. He won. Other things where I had it first and it won included cinematography, editing, and visual effects. We were doing Best Sci-Fi or Horror Movie at the time. It won that. And a few more. This movie won lots of awards. In fact, this is second behind Cabaret as the film that received the most Oscars without Best Picture being one of them.
Cool.
Wow.
Cabaret won 8 Oscars, not including Best Picture.
And it had 2 acting Oscars, which always pads it out a bit.
This had 7 without winning Best Picture. Gravity and Everything Everywhere All at Once are the only movies with 7 Oscars in the last 15 years.
Wow.
Slumdog Millionaire has 8. There are only 15 movies total with more Oscars than Gravity.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Won the Golden Globe just for Best Director. 1 Globe, 6 BAFTAs. And by the way, that cinematography award, Emmanuel Lubezki.
First of a three-peat.
He won Best Cinematography 3 years in a row for Gravity, Birdman, and The Revenant. And say what you will about any of those movies. If you have 1 in space, 1 in West, and 1 in New York, and can shoot all of those things, you're a good cinematographer.
Also, they're all really impressive, right? Yeah, like, you know,
showy.
Birdman has the fake one shot, and Revenant was only natural lighting, and
Gravity was no natural anything.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think deserved wins.
That was a lot of award stuff. So just one more thing to get with the who was talked about for this movie. This was fully developed with Angelina Jolie in the lead role.
Really?
Interesting.
To the point where when she backed out, they thought about, well, we won't make that movie then.
I don't think that's necessary.
Yeah. There are other actresses.
Right. Like,
we discovered. Like,
yeah. It's mostly just a head. Like, that we see.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I love Sandra Bullock and have since Speed, or probably before Speed from, like, Love Potion number 9. I love Sandra Bullock, so... I think that maybe I'm biased, but I think that she did better than Angelina Jolie ever could have.
It was then offered to Marion Cotillard. She came close, had conflicts.
Okay.
They talked to Blake Lively.
No.
Who had conflicts.
Like, good. She's okay and all, but keep your yeah.
No.
Like, that's your lane, my dear.
She's the sister of the traveling pants. Well, not the yaya.
Yeah, that's Sandra. That's,
not talked to, offered outright to Natalie Portman, who passed.
She's much too tiny.
Yeah, like she did do a space movie, though.
The flickering thing. What was that? Annihilation?
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that. Oh, that movie rules. That's on Earth, sort of. No, it was a movie about a real-life astronaut who murdered someone. I think the movie's called Lucy in the Sky.
I didn't see
it. Yeah, I never saw it.
Also, Naomi Watts, Carrie Mulligan, Scarlett Johansson, Sienna Miller, Abby Cornish, Rebecca Hall, and Olivia Wilde.
Wow.
Sandra was the bottom of the list.
That's crazy.
Okay, I feel... Can we talk about the Ryan of it all? Because I spent a while looking up statistics. As we mentioned last week, one of my pet peeves in fiction is when a girl character gets a boy's first name in order to be cool or important.
Right, right.
Hate it.
What are some other prominent examples? I'm sure.
Oh,
this...
I should have come up with other examples. Yeah, a lot of times, I'm sure you're right.
It just not being something that jumps out at me. And right. You know.
A lot of times it's girls named Charlie. Like in Hereditary, but that's sort of a plot point. Regardless, okay, that was the first one I thought of. So part of the reason that this bothered me so much is because Sandra Bullock was born in 1964, and Ryan was not a popular boy's name. She says in the movie, it's like, why do you have, George Clooney's like, why do you name a boy's name? And she's like, my dad wanted a boy. Mm. All right, I looked it up. Sandra was the 13th most popular name in 1964. Ryan was 346. I would like to provide some examples of names more popular than Ryan for baby boys born in 1964. Herbert. Wendell, Virgil, Greg with three G's. No,
three G's. Yes. That's excessive.
So, okay. So that's a lie. And then I was like, well, maybe she's playing younger. And hearing things like Blake Lively and Abby Cornish and stuff, I'm like, they did not necessarily write this character as this is 10 years ago, so 50-year-old woman. Right. And I was like, when did Ryan become popular? And the answer is 1971. It shot right up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what happened in 1970 to
Ryan
make this?
Ryan O'Neill.
And it was Ryan O'Neill. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know for sure, but that must be why. And that how funny. It,
right?
Oh, my gosh. Too bad Tatum didn't take off.
That's crazy.
Herbert needs to cut. Herbert is a good, solid name.
Yeah.
You ever hear about the KFC Twitter thing from a while ago?
I don't think so. Mm-mm.
Someone, a civilian, called this out. Said, you know, just went on Twitter one day and looked and said, I just looked at who KFC follows on Twitter. It's the Spice Girls and six guys named Herb. In other words, 11 herbs and spices.
The social media manager who came up with that deserves a promotion to Empress.
The guy that found it, they sent him like a velvet painting of Colonel Sanders and a bunch of gift cards and stuff.
Oh, I love that.
It reminds me that Herb is a solid name. Was that it? Oh, Sandra Bullock, way down the list. George Clooney, just second after Robert Downey Jr. said no.
I'm glad he said no.
He had enough time in masks.
Yeah, he's like, enough time with the green screens.
I think George is great in this.
Oh, no, he's good.
This is the only time I've ever hated a George Clooney character.
Really?
Oh, I also think he's obnoxious, but I think that's appropriate for the character.
Is that what they... It just really seemed very two-dimensional. Like... Both of them, actually. And it's just like you're just there to be condescending. This is this is your whole point of being here.
He vacillates.
Even when she imagines him saving her, it's still just like mansplaining. And I'm here to say,
right. He goes in between calm down, it's going to be okay.
Right.
And actual clear, helpful instructions.
Right.
So I'm like.
Mixed with some misogynistic, like, you know, inappropriate sexual comments towards her. It's like, you know.
Oh, I've missed that.
Well, I mean, maybe not overtly sexual, but it's a lot of like, oh, my, look at those beautiful blue eyes. And she's my eyes are brown.
I immediately shouted out, her eyes are brown.
I'm going to get me out of the way because we know how I love sad space. I love space in general. I especially love space where you can look at the Earth and the stars a lot. Like, you know, screensaver space movies. Mm-hmm. Just make me happy. Yes. I like a short thriller. I think I'm discovering that I like survival movies.
I was going to say that you tend to like those. And a question I have for you is, you know, Camille and I have both sort of referenced how they these characters are two-dimensional and every minor attempt they make to make them interesting falls flat.
Yeah.
Is it better if they just show two people and we don't need to know anything about them?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
The subject of the movie is not the people, it's the obstacles.
Right.
The things that happen in this movie aren't, it's not a journey of self-discovery. It's this person who we assume wants to survive, otherwise they would have died earlier.
Right.
That, you know, this, and then they got to deal with this, and then this happens. That's the meat. The meat right. isn't like, you know, you thinking about your dead daughter.
Why?
Just don't put any of that in at all, really.
Right. Why are they always putting in motivation for survival, which is something that every animal has?
It's just human nature. Yes. Like that's.
I mean, gravity is much better than the example I'll cite, but this was handled correctly in Robert Redford is Alone on a Boat.
All is Lost.
All is Lost.
A movie I've never seen, although I considered seeing because of the Oscars death race.
Where he's on a boat in the middle of the ocean and it starts sinking and he's alone. So he never says a word. We don't learn shit about him because why would we learn anything?
Right.
He's got a problem and no one to talk to.
Right.
That's fine. Anyway, all of this is to say, this is my kind of thing. So I liked it a lot. I will say that 10 years later, it would be a better movie if she were surviving by being smart and capable rather than complete dumb luck and magic.
Right. That's
and a man's advice.
Yeah.
Like,
I was mostly put off because it feels like, and I could have missed a lot of stuff just with the sound in itself, but like, she had no training whatsoever. Like, coming in
6
like,
months.
Like, she just rolled in there, just like, hey, I'm a doctor, but can I go ahead and can I catch a ride to space?
What
like,
is she even doing, also?
Yeah,
what like, is she what studying?
Is, yes. Like, why is she there?
Like, is she like a medical, I think they say at some point medical engineer, and I was like, what does that mean?
I got the impression that she was like top tier in the like medical imaging. Like she probably was an inventor /
like a radiologist
builder of machines that take pictures of things.
Okay.
And so we're working on the Hubble Space Telescope.
So she's there for taking pictures of space.
She is there for repairing the Hubble and installing some new imaging stuff that only she knows about.
Oh, okay.
She could just be a good astronaut. That's
so any
I agree with that. So Camila, in your inaugural viewing,
yeah,
how'd that go for you?
First of all, let me get this the positive out of the way.
The one.
It is a stunning visual film.
Yeah,
I will not take that away from it. Mm-hmm. It is beautiful. For that, I do kind of wish I had seen it in the theater.
Yeah, me too.
Just to really like experience all of that. Two, they got sound mixing Oscar for a reason. Like that sound was amazing. The sound mixing, just like every time when all the sound would just be absent. Like we were getting all this like, all this chaos and everything. And then she goes into the Hubble or whatever, the thingamadoo. And, you know, then it's silent. Or when she's like dunking in and out of the water. So I also give kudos for that. That said, this towards the end, it felt like the equivalent of like the over dramatization of a couple trying to put together IKEA furniture while they're drunk.
Incredible comparison. I feel like this is the first time in human history that gravity has been compared to putting together IKEA furniture.
Because it's like, you know, Just the whole dynamic between Clooney and Bullock, and you know, and then at one point she actually does pull out a manual and it's like, okay, fine. That's just the whole thing. Like everyone's pissed at each other, and it's just everyone. There's yelling and there's crying, and people think this is the end of the world. Yes, that is IKEA furniture assembly.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be great if the manual had the little guy who's confused and on the phone?
You can't see it, but I'm doing the
call Houston. I was distracted by Ed Harris's voice in the beginning.
Oh, that's who that was.
Yes.
Okay.
That is a nod. That is a nod to Apollo 13. Here's the other nod that I thought. Was the dead lady in the space shuttle supposed to look like Ripley?
No, I didn't make that connection.
When they go back to the space shuttle, and the two, she had like Sigourney Weaver 80s hair, and I was like, is that a...
That'd be cute. That'd be a cute little Easter egg. That would be nice if that were the fact. I was confused as to what happened to the first guy.
The guy who lost his face?
Yeah.
Like, I had a joke in there that I took out of my thing. I was going to say, literally faceless fellow astronaut.
One of those pieces of debris just went straight through his head.
Poor guy. That's a...
That visual was harrowing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Because it freezes so fast, so it is just a clean hole. Yeah. Right.
Oh, but honestly, I would really rather have a piece of space debris go through my head than drift off into nothing.
Yeah, so that's the other.
Oh, I would drift off into nothing.
Oh, God.
I would enjoy drifting off into nothing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so I have a problem with, like, I don't know how to swim. And
oh, really?
And I'm having trouble learning how to swim because of that being not having anything to hold on to. So I've got this phobia of not having that. And that's
scary.
Yes. So not, and there's also the, like, and that also goes through my head when I'm in on an airplane too. Cause you know, like, so it's like that kind of thing. So this was just like, oh God, this is like got to be the worst possible way to go of just like floating off into nothingness, into space. And I felt Sandra's fear in all of this, of just her spinning out. And then, but that just kind of brought me back to, maybe we should stop fucking around in space.
It's none of our business.
Let's figure out how to live on Earth before we go poking around up there. Just let it go. It's fine.
We put a man on the moon and we should have just been like,
okay, we did it. Well done, guys. Well done. It's not our concern. But yeah, like, I think I just, there was, I never felt any connection with anything. Yes, it's a terrible thing that, you know, it, for the situation for them to be in. I guess I got too into my head, like trying to figure out exactly what the point was of what they were doing, what was going wrong exactly, other than just shit's breaking and, you know, and everything's terrible. And then I get like, you know, caught up in like, oh, well, maybe noticing that there's handles on everything, on all the equipment outside of all the equipment. Like, maybe that's the reason that apparently if that's so because folks don't float out. But I was just mostly bored throughout the entire thing. I didn't like the way it started off, just like kind of throwing.
I barely even remember how it starts,
right?
Because it goes into the business so quickly,
right? And then it's also, you know, you just hear like the distant voices on the intercoms, and you don't really know what's being said until you like you get into it.
Yeah, I put the subtitles on right away.
Yeah,
me again, too. I always watch with subtitles.
Again, another reason why it would have been good to have seen in the theater.
Right.
So I'm assuming that yes, seeing it on my television 10 years later takes away a lot of what was there.
Yeah.
But I just really hated Clooney's character. I just, I don't know. There was, it's the plot, not the plot, the story, I guess the ill attempt to make these two people interesting or relatable or somebody that I want to care, sympathetic.
Yeah.
Which just fell flat.
Yeah.
And I think what we were saying earlier, maybe just don't do that at all.
Maybe just don't do it. Just make them people, make them ciphers, let us put our own personalities there. Right.
They're just two astronauts getting fucked up.
Yep.
And so, yeah, that's really, that was my experience.
Robin, do you fall somewhere between Camila and I?
Mean, she gave it 2 stars on Letterboxd. My number is going to be higher than that, but like, I don't ever need to watch this movie again. I did not need to watch it this time. I'm glad it's such a technical achievement, but like I said in my recap, I'm like, it felt like a roller coaster more than a movie, and I don't really like roller coasters that much.
It's stressful. And the trailer is stressful. This trailer here.
Wait, before I cut it in, I'm going to say the beginning of the trailer is silent. And it has a thing that's like, in space, no one can hear you scream, but written out differently.
Right.
And then it immediately starts.
With screaming?
Explorer's been hit. Explorer, do you read? Explorer, over. Explorer. Astronaut is off structure.
What do I do?
Dr. Stone is off structure.
What do I do?
Dr. Stone detached.
No.
You must detach. Don't detach that arm for the carry you too far. Listen to my voice. To focus. I'm losing visual of you. In a few seconds, I won't be able to track you. Need to detach. I can't see you anymore. Do it now. Houston, I've lost visual of Dr. Stone. Do you copy?
Yes, yes, yes. I copy. I'm detached.
Give me your position.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm spinning. I can't.
Report your position.
GPS is down. I can't. It's down. I can't. I told you nothing. I see nothing.
You have a visual of Explorer.
No.
You have a visual.
No.
Where's home, Dr. Stone?
Lake Zurich, Illinois.
Is there somebody down there looking up, thinking about you?
I had a daughter. A little girl with brown hair. Tell her that I'm not quitting.
Yeah, I'm stressed already and visually dazzled. I'm going. Good trailer.
Yikes. All right, this is the kind of trailer that makes me go, why would anyone watch this?
I'm sure that's what I said.
I guess I like this stuff. By the way, my letterbox list for the week is Getting Stuck in Terrible Places Cinematic Universe with such films as Phone Booth, which I do like, 127 Hours. Devil, that's where they're on an elevator. Fall, that's the one I like.
Survival movie.
The one I'm interested in, even though the letterbox scores are atrocious, is called Frozen.
Oh, where they're stuck on a ski lift.
I'm like, I will watch that right now. I guess I just like watching people get stuck somewhere and seeing what happens.
You know what I would watch? A romantic comedy about people getting stuck on the Kennywood ski lift.
Just over looking at the McDonald's that they cannot reach. And yet I have not seen Life of Pi. Is Life of Pi good?
Okay, so actually Life of Pi is fucking great.
I enjoyed it.
And it is an example of a movie that I saw in the theater and definitely liked a lot more because I saw it in the theater, because that movie is so beautiful.
It is. And made me rethink my cute thoughts about meerkats.
Yes. And I saw it in 3D.
Oh.
And that is one of the movies that makes me a huge defender of 3D. And I kind of regret not seeing Gravity in 3D as well.
Oh, that was 3D too?
Yeah.
Oh.
So every time a little thing was floating away and they had to go, nyeh, nyeh.
We need a German word for that. Watching a 3D movie in 2D and being like, oh, that's why the axe is coming towards the camera.
We have so much to do, so let's rate this. And I'm sorry, 88.
Wow.
Camila?
Split in half, 44.
Well, that's higher than I thought.
Yeah. I'm going to go 60.
Okay. So it's a Robin is correct kind of a day. 64 is the final score there. A respectable 64. Little bit of everything. We are not doing new bingo until the new year because we have so much business to attend to, including a movie draft. It's a movie draft, everybody. Yay. I don't know what order we said these things were happening in the last time you heard us. Here's what's up. At the end of this episode, we'll draw our holiday movie, and that will be the next episode. But we're going to do the movie draft today so that you can vote on it. As you're hearing this, go on Twitter, formerly known as Twitter. I don't use the new name. And vote on which one of the following movies you would like to see. That will come out right after our Christmas episode, correct?
And apologies to everyone who has to go on Twitter in order to vote.
As soon as one of the other platforms is... We're all on Blue Sky. We say that Robin, I'm not calling them skeets. Robin Blue Skies every day. I do.
I'm using
it's there.
Blue Sky the same way I use Twitter, which is, here's what I'm thinking, guys.
To reveal the choices, as you heard last time, Robin and Camila both hit bingo. And I laid down the additional challenge that I forget why you wanted an additional challenge.
I just for fun. I just wanted to spice it up. Okay.
I laid down the additional challenge that...
To kind of keep us from...
repeating.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had to pick films that you have not seen.
Yes.
Movies that you want to see but have not had to be the choices this time. Here's Robin to recap the rules of a movie draft.
So the way that it's going to work is that Camila and I have both come in with four pre-selected number one movies in America that we haven't seen. And one at a time, we will be sharing one of our choices, and then the other person has the opportunity to veto it. But we only get two vetoes out of the four, and we don't know what's coming next. Mm-hmm. So it's a risky decision. If we end up with more than four movies after the vetoing process, Sean will pick the final four for the poll.
Yes.
But if Camila and I have the same movie on our list, it's happened before. That has to be on the list. Sean can't take it off.
Right.
If there's a tie on the Twitter poll, then Sean will be the tiebreaker, unless it is the movie that Camila and I both pick, should that happen. I think those are all of the rules.
That seems right.
Yes.
Yeah. Who will go first?
I'm going to have Camila go first, because I want to say my goal for this movie draft is to lose.
Oh, really?
Because because you won the...
You keep winning all the other ones?
I keep winning, and it's stressful.
So making chaotic picks.
I have only picked movies that are from my Oscars quest.
Interesting.
Oh, okay. My.
And so they're mostly old and mostly things I'm going to have to tell you what they even are. I also don't even know. So I'm going to lose this one. Camila, what movie do you have that we might actually end up watching?
Okay. I have from 1993, Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
Ooh, yes. High five. I've never seen it, so I never definitely want to see it.
Looks like it's a likely contender. Robin?
Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. 1969. Oh. Elliot Gould and Diane Cannon were both nominated for Oscars.
That's very famous for some reason.
I've heard of it before. It's definitely one of those movies that exists as a title in my brain.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my first choice.
Camila.
2005, War of the Worlds.
I'm going to veto that.
And it's right off.
Wow.
Some people don't want to hear, what's her name? Dakota Fanning scream for a solid 95 minutes.
I do think you should watch that movie. It's very good, but I don't ever want to watch it again. No, it's not like good, but it's incredibly entertaining.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. As soon as it became clear that it was a 9/11 metaphor, which it becomes clear 4 minutes into the film.
I forgot about that.
Out.
Damn.
Well, that will not be one of them. Robin?
The China Syndrome, 1979. Jane Fonda and Jack Lemmon nominated for Oscars.
Which one's that?
There's a nuclear disaster, and it came out the same year that Three Mile Island happened.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Are you going to veto that?
China's... what'd you say? It was about what?
A nuclear disaster.
I will not veto that.
All right. Your third choice.
The Revenant.
Intense veto. Did you pick that because of the Lubitsky or whatever his name is?
Tom Hardy.
It's the same. It's the same cinematographer as Gravity.
I should have known it was Tom Hardy.
Well, let me tell you about.
I keep trying to watch it, but it just...
He was nominated for it.
I know.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about a little thing called the 2016 Oscars party.
We're making tea. Everybody, if that's kept picking up on Mike, we're making tea. Everybody's a little bit sick.
I like The Revenant just fine because I'm a boy and because I like the West. Robin... really hates The Revenant.
Listen, I, very similar to Gravity, I'm like, this is a well-crafted film that I hate watching.
And by the end of the 2016 Oscars party, with many drinks on all sides.
I was going to say, not just me.
Not just Robin. Robin was just actively chanting about how much she hated The Revenant.
Oh my God.
And I was like, you know, I'm a professional movie critic here. There are other opinions in the room.
That was really early on in me and Sean's friendship. And like, I also picked Anomalisa as your favorite movie that year, a movie I deeply hated. And I was like, does Sean just have bad taste in movies? No, I've learned over the years. For example, Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night 2.
Right, exactly.
Great movie.
He has a specific... taste.
Yes.
Robin, you have a third pick, and Camila is free vetoes. You don't, no suspense left. You can use it if you want.
And I have no vetoes left, which is terrifying. My next choice is McCabe and Mrs. Miller, Julie Christie nominated, I think 1972. And I want to say it's an Altman movie.
It is. Okay. I have a Criterion I have not watched.
There you go.
No, veto.
Did you see the runtime?
No.
Oh, is it really long?
No, it's 2 hours and a minute. I just saw
I thought it was like 3 hours long.
No, some of those, it's a revisionist Western film.
So. And you're like, no, thank you.
Nope, I'm good.
Camila, your last choice, which Robin cannot veto.
Oh, great. Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
Oh, boy.
That's the sequel?
Yeah, Pedro Pascal.
It's got a couple sequences I really like. It's way better than the third one. The third one was... awful.
I didn't even know they got to a third one.
I think I remember thinking the second one was the best one. I mean, the first one has that great sequence where everyone in the church is murdering each other. But anyway, sure. I have no opinions here. So Robin has one more pick, which Camila can either veto or not.
The Way We Were. Barbara Streisand nominated. 1973.
I will allow it.
Okay.
So then I just have to pick one to not allow. The Bruce Lee story is certainly getting in there.
Obviously.
The China.
That's what I'm going to be voting for, by the way.
The China syndrome is certainly getting in there. Do I want the chaos of just putting one Camila pick against three of Robin's and seeing if Robin's plan to sink it still works? No, Kingsman: The Golden Circle is too fun. Mm. So then, which of these? I don't want that song in my head. Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice.
All right.
So those are your choices. Go on the platform for the formerly known as Relevant and pick between Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, The China Syndrome, Kingsman, The Golden Circle, or Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. Good choices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love a movie draft. Nice. Although I got to say, since you added the movies going back to the beginning of time, wow, it takes a long time to go through that list.
Yeah, it does. And yeah. I didn't even have like the really updated one either. Like I keep losing it. I know you sent it to me ages ago, but so that's why I have nothing from the old. Oh, okay.
I just skim. I don't when it comes to me, I don't actually look at all of them. I'm just scrolling. Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Yeah. This is why I've never won a movie draft. So we're running low on time and it's a busy time of year, so we're going to have to kind of lightning round some of our You Can't Handle the Truth. Robin, what do you got?
I just want to say, especially as we're talking about me not liking these boy movies, that my recent Letterboxd activity has made me very concerned about my personal misandry. Because I keep watching movies and being like, I bet this is good if you like men. Yeah. For example, Diner and This Sporting Life, and I can't even think of what else. And then meanwhile, movies about women that I was like, this is amazing. How is this not a movie that everyone is constantly talking about? Well, it's really just Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, which I can't believe how perfectly that movie came out. It's so good. Sean, did you see that? It came out in like the spring or something.
It's this year. I really got it.
It's fantastic, and it was really fun watching it with Colin and him not knowing that all of the teenage girl stuff is very, very real. Like, when I told him you must increase our bus was a thing we actually did, he was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And it was also really fun to talk to my niece Gia about it because she's an actual teenager, and she really liked it too, which was reassuring for me. And then the other one I wanted to mention was Naiad, the movie about Annette Bening swimming from Cuba to Florida.
Yeah, sell me, because I will nominate like 10 days from now, and there's not going to be time for everything I'd like to see. Is Naiad one I should be watching?
I think that if you are struggling to pick a best actress list.
Oh, God, I'm not.
Oh, well, then maybe not. But honestly, it's just it's a movie to watch with your parents. Like, here's some interesting stuff happening. Here's two characters who have a cool dynamic, which is being bickering, not in love lesbians. And I just felt like I had only heard bad things about this movie. And then when I watched it and really enjoyed it, I was like, oh, people don't like movies about women. Except for me. I do.
I see you hated Renfield.
Yeah.
Here's the thing with Renfield. Why is Awkwafina like 90% of the movie?
I don't know. I'm like, over her.
I actually like her more than most people do. And I was like, what are you doing? I need more Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Like, was he not available because he makes 50 movies a year?
Yeah, he was like on 8 other sets.
Right, exactly. The IRS was knocking on his door and he was like, I got another gig, bye. Like a stand-up jetting out of the green room.
Yeah, it was kind of there wasn't nearly enough Cage as Dracula.
Yeah,
maybe they were setting up for the sequel, which they're probably not going to get
because
it didn't make any money.
I was also disappointed by the Dungeons & Dragons movie.
I thought that
Did you go in with high expectations?
Yes, because everybody told me it was great, and I love Chris Pine, and I feel like I'm enough of a dork to get some of the dork stuff, but actually Colin got more of the references than I did, which made me feel slightly ashamed. So I was disappointed in that. And
I went in with really low expectations.
Okay.
I do love Chris Pine.
I know you
He's
do.
He's my favorite Chris.
Yes.
So, yes, it was much more enjoyable for me. I got a big kick out of it.
Yeah.
And tiny secret actor.
What?
Actor you didn't know that was in the movie, who is there, but he is a tiny version of himself.
I forget.
Who are we talking about?
Bradley Cooper.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He was somebody's ex.
Had no idea that was going on.
Oh, yeah. That was not an announced character.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else? You got
Tomorrowland and...
I watched... Oh, another movie that I watched that I haven't put in my Letterboxd because I'm trying to figure out when I watched it, but within the past month or so, was Solaris. So that's a sad space movie that I actually liked.
The original or the remake?
The remake. Yeah.
I've seen the original.
Yeah. The remake is one of those movies that, like, some people love it or hate it. And I feel like I was constantly flickering back between loving and hating it. But then when it finally ended, and partially because, you know, Soderbergh is my enemy.
That's also Clooney in space.
But that is also, well, it's Clooney and sad space. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Which, yeah.
And then Tomorrowland, he is, the thing I got to say about Tomorrowland is Raffi Cassidy is so fucking charming in that movie. But she's also a 9-year-old robot who is divorced from George Clooney.
Mm.
And they have like a rekindling their divorce.
You said 9.
Yeah, because they met and fell in love when he was 9, but she's a robot, so she stayed 9. It's they're not literal. I don't think they literally got married, but they act like a divorced couple who still love each other. That's like the relationship that they developed. It's really weird.
Dan did a visual bit.
Yes.
He had to be here.
It's really weird. I don't recommend that movie, although I did kind of enjoy watching it, that category.
Speaking of sad space, as I was watching Gravity, I was thinking, I can't believe I enjoyed The Martian more than I'm like
The Martian is a great example of they gave him a character and it worked.
Mm.
But his character was charming guy.
Even as much as I hate Matt Damon.
Yeah. But it was just Matt Damon being like, I'm going to be as charismatic as I am physically capable of right. being. And that's all and you need it. To know about me.
Right. And I can grow fucking beets on. I can grow potatoes on Mars.
Shit potatoes.
Camila, I see you have joined us in the summer of 2023.
What did I watch? What is happening?
You watched Barbie.
Yay.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Thoughts.
First of all, let me just get the other thing that I watched Barbie documentary also. Let me just get that out of the way. Black Barbie, a documentary. Great. Fantastic. It was just a great history about Barbie and then also like the first Black Barbie and all that stuff and brought up a lot of feelings because I had the one that they showed was the exact one I had and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think it's like right now it's like in film festivals. I actually watched it as a screener. So yeah, once it comes available, I would mm-hmm. highly recommend everybody watch it. So, and on to Barbie.
Hey, Barbie.
I went in with medium expectations. I didn't want to, like, and that was, like, from when I first heard that this movie was being made, I was like,
there had been a lot of hype?
Yeah, and there's so much hype around, and usually with the more hype, the less I like it. I'm not going to say I loved it, but I very much enjoyed it, and it has reignited my love for Ryan Gosling.
It's his best performance ever.
Yeah.
I do.
When he runs at the wave?
Oh, God. Oh, God, it's so good. Or even just like, and there's this, I think the thing that I cackled at the hardest was when Ken and Barbie go to the school to find the girl, and she's like, you know, I'm feeling this sense of dread and like self, you know, self whatever. So she's just like talking about all this anxiety she's starting to feel and trying to put words into it. And she's like, and it's just too much. And he's like, really? I feel great. And then a mom passes by. She's like, it's because they never blame the dads. And also just like America's little speech that she was using to like snap all the other Barbies out of the, mm-hmm. out of their stupor and the Kens and the fucking, what do they call this? Dojo?
The Mojo Dojo Mojo Casa Dojo House. Casa House.
I would very much like to see that on the shelves this Christmas
season. Oh, I saw a doormat that says, welcome to my Mojo Dojo Casa House.
What I saw, it's the only time in my life I ever didn't buy a t-shirt because I would have had to buy two because there was Mojo Dojo Casa House of 1,000 Corpses and Barbie's Dream House of 1,000 Corpses. I was like, I can't pick one.
That's awesome. I know. That's a tough choice.
The answer is Mojo Dojo.
Yeah, probably.
My only problem is I think like Will Ferrell and the suits, they didn't really need to come over to Barbie Land. I think that was kind of unnecessary.
I did kind of like the moment where they're like, is this a war?
Yeah, so
great.
It was fun.
I said I'm nominating next week. There's only one guarantee on my belt. I don't care if somebody writes Blowing in the Wind 2 next week. I'm Just Ken is number one for Song of the Year.
If they don't submit that and just submit the Billie Eilish song, I am going to flip so many tables because she's not going to win. She just won one.
That's like the seventh most interesting song in that movie.
It's fine. It's well written, but I don't want to listen to it.
No, and the choreography that went along with the whole thing just like
when you see, like, when he goes into the real world and he sees, like, we get the montage of all of his, like, male heroes now that we see, and then, like, Grease Lightning is a part of this bit, and then they start doing the, like, that's comedic gold, and I don't think Ryan Gosling gets enough comedic
roles. No, he's really
like,
good at it.
He's very, very good. Like, it kind of playing, like, the pseudo straight man, or just like, you know,
I don't winking know. Straight man.
Yeah. But I mean, I would like to see him get an Oscar. To me, this would just kind of just feel like for playing Ken, like Lars and the Real Girls right there. Like that kind of hurts my feelings personally, but you know, just retroactive, I guess. Yeah. We'll just call it that.
It always is somewhat retroactive.
Right.
Is he running in lead or supporting?
I think supporting.
Supporting, okay. if we're going full on Ken, like he has to be supporting.
Yeah, I guess there that's more appropriate.
There is no Ken without Barbie.
I mean, go ahead. I don't expect him to get nominated, but I'm still going to be disappointed when he doesn't get nominated.
Right.
Yeah.
He's
the best part of the movie, which I kind of hate. Yeah. But I want the best part of the movie to be a girl's sake, but he is the best part of the movie.
And also, I think Margot Robbie was a very excellent choice.
Oh, she did fantastic. And America Ferrera did, the little girl did. Like, Everybody's good in that movie.
Everyone's very good.
He's the best.
And I also, like, appreciate Helen Mirren's narration.
Yes.
It's just very well done.
I haven't been looking much because it'll only highlight the number of movies I have not seen.
I understand that.
You mentioned earlier, are you having trouble with Best Actress? No. Best Actress is crowded to death because they're pushing Lily Gladstone in Best Actress, not in supporting.
Oh.
So
good for her.
When already Emma Stone, people are saying Emma Stone is running away with it. No one else is even in the race.
Okay, but she's already won.
Carey Mulligan is career best, and I've seen that, and
what
she's
she
Maestro.
Oh, okay.
Julianne Moore and Natalie Portman are both leads. Before we get to Margot Robbie, Before we get to Annette Bening, it's that category is...
Are they both running in lead? Because, like, Rooney Mara was supporting in Carol, even though that's a lie.
Let me see here. I don't see Ryan Gosling listed in lead. Supporting actress... No, Julianne Moore is running and supporting.
There you go.
Yeah. But the question was Ryan Gosling. Ryan Gosling is currently seen as having the second best odds to win Best Supporting Actor.
All right. Okay, let's do it.
Only behind Robert Downey Jr. In Oppenheimer.
He's going to win.
God, I really wish they would make that rentable already.
Yeah.
For not $25. Right.
Unless things dramatically change, Robert Downey Jr. is going to win.
Yeah. It's a lifetime achievement.
Is this the first? Yeah. Would this be his first Oscar?
Third.
Oh, okay.
He was nominated for Tropic Thunder. Or third. He hasn't won.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, so. Correct. Sorry.
I have so many things and we have so little time. So quickly, May, December is very good.
I can't wait.
It is.
That's on Netflix. Yeah.
That'll be on Netflix on Friday,
yes!
I think. Julianne Moore and Natalie Portman is as good a duo as Cate Blanchett and Rooney Mara.
Are they the couple or?
No.
Oh, okay.
She's speaking my language.
So it is loosely based on a true story about that woman who slept with her 13-year-old student. Right. So Julianne Moore plays that woman. One of the kids from Riverdale plays the young man.
My interest is
20 years later.
Exponentially.
And Natalie Portman is the actress who is going to be playing her in a movie coming to town to research.
Okay.
And it's great. It's just that Todd Haynes thing where it's like, this is so loaded with, every moment is so loaded with meaning that I can never actually tell you in words what it's all about. I just feel it.
I feel it. It's vibes.
Very, very good.
Is it a Christmas movie?
No, it is. It is summery, if anything.
Oh, interesting.
I and few others, but I really liked Napoleon. I'm not a Ridley Scott.
I sometimes wonder if I am a Ridley Scott person.
I am not a Ridley Scott person, really, but like, it's a movie. I keep saying this is a movie about how Napoleon was just a goofy little guy. Mm. And it's like, that's to me what was really smart about it. It is structured like a great man of history movie, but it's kind of tearing that apart by showing that he was kind of a buffoon. Mm-hmm. Like there's so much of him being like a weird whiny little shit, but trying to act like he's a great man of history.
Gotcha. Which feels like Joaquin Phoenix is perfectly cast for that.
Oh yeah. He's great. It moves along. And then it's when it gets to a battle sequence, the battle sequences are brutal. Mm. which I think is kind of to show you, like, this asshole is just cosplaying King, but thousands of people die as a result. Yeah. I thought it was a really good movie. The you know, response has been muted, and it's kind of fading fast from the Oscar race, but I liked it a lot. I finally saw Past Lives, which hit earlier this year, the Celine Song seen movie.
It, yeah.
That's really good. There's good stuff. And, except Wish. Wish sucks.
Really?
What the hell? I mean, they basically fast-tracked a movie, which is almost impossible when it's animated.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And rushed it together to be the, we're Disney and this is our 100th birthday movie.
Right.
Really?
So it's an origin story for the little star that goes woo over the castle and the logo. It's about that star.
Why?
And wishing on stars. And like her friend, she has seven friends who kind of dress and act like the seven dwarves. And like there's 5,000 Easter egg references to other Disney things. And it's just not a full movie. It's just not a finished movie. It's
they just needed a new character for the Christmas season merch.
I guess. Maestro I like a lot. And probably not as much as May December. But Carrie Mulligan is, I love Carrie Mulligan. And this maybe Promising Young Woman is the best I've ever seen her.
This is the one, Bradley Cooper.
Yeah. Bradley Cooper is.
And his prosthetic nose.
Which is
why
we can stop. Like, I know when you're, I know you're not actually Leonard Bernstein.
Also, Leonard Bernstein's nose didn't look like
it
that.
It didn't look like that, but like Joaquin Phoenix didn't like draw little wrinkles on his face to look more like Johnny Cash. Like, we don't do this every time.
No.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're just like, oh, it's important that, no, it's not. You're an actor in a, I know you're in.
Right.
Yeah. It's dumb. And
but the movie's good.
Kind of anti-Semitic.
The movie's good, and Carey Mulligan is great, and Bradley Cooper is good at having these passion project movies where he is completely outshined by his female co-star.
Honestly, respect.
Yeah.
I'd so much rather he keep doing that than The Hangover Part 9.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving. That was what you wanted to do.
What?
Thanksgiving.
That was what you wanted to do?
Slash
That's
movie.
Eli Roth, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little more straight up.
I agree
up
with slashing. Camila's face, which you can't see because this is radio.
I know he's
like a nose crinkle.
He's him, but he's playing it straight, and it's mostly a scream riff. It's mostly a
okay.
It's a year later, and people are dying. Which one could it be? So it's a lot of fun for your holiday viewing.
I feel like it should have like come out a little bit earlier for one, or just put it on Netflix. Yeah. Because I mean Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is the like king weekend of watching Netflix movies.
Right.
But it made some money, so good for them. Let's draw a Christmas movie.
All right.
Here's the deal.
Our Christmas movie list is getting short, y'all. Yeah.
There are barely any Christmas movies left on our list because
in the bottom of the barrel.
We've done a few. We kept doing
double features.
And we also keep vetoing Christmas movies.
I am the general in the war on Christmas.
So from here on out, to make sure that we can keep doing one every year, we're just doing one every year. We used to have these little, well, if it's not a real Christmas movie, we have to, and then if it's this, we're doing one.
The ones we keep labeling as not real Christmas movies end up being super Christmassy.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Eyes Wide Shut. Very Christmassy. Soaked in tinsel, that movie. We are just doing one Christmas movie to carry us through the season, and that Christmas movie will be Rocky IV.
Yes!
Outstanding.
Yay!
I am absolutely here for it. That's awesome.
I was worried. I was worried that we have no vetoes. We were restricting it. We could have landed on any number of things I didn't want to. Well, no more than 11 things I didn't want to watch, but Rocky IV. Yeah. You know what I didn't talk about? I just had dinner at Rocky's restaurant in Philadelphia. You know,
really?
It's in Rocky Balboa, and it's in Creed 1 that he runs a restaurant now. I just had dinner there.
I didn't know it was true. I didn't realize that he had one.
It is not Rocky themed in real life. It's more interesting in real life. It is called the Victor Cafe. It has been there since 1916, and to be a server there, you must be an opera singer.
What?
Because
why?
Every 20 minutes, one of the server goes, excuse me, everyone, I'd like to sing a piece from Madame Butterfly, my character, and will explain, give an incredible operatic performance, and then pick up the plates and go back to being a server.
I feel like that sounds horrifying.
It's amazing. And our waitress was the best. We saw three performances in the hour we were there.
Yeah,
the food's great, too. It's a little Italian place. Great Italian food. Our server was the best one. And we were like, oh, where do you perform? And she was like, oh, I was in this and this and this. And I just sang for a movie that Bradley Cooper's doing. Like Maestro? She's like, yeah, I'm in it.
Wow.
Amazing.
And I was like, I've already seen it. She's like, you've already seen it? And I was like, well, yes, I'm a movie critic, you see. But yeah. Oh, it's the Sylvester, Victor Cafe.
Sylvester Stallone. Very just layered fella.
He's
just... God.
Listen.
I still have to watch that documentary on Netflix, but...
I don't really want to. It's like, I have positive feelings about him that I'm trying to protect from various pieces of information that keep slipping through.
I don't...
He's just a guy. He's just a guy, and he's pinched a lot of butts.
From the 70s.
Yeah, like, he's pinched a lot of butts and said a lot of racial slurs, right? Like, it's a guy from the 70s. I'm not sure about the racial slurs thing. It just sounds true.
I've certainly seen stretches of Rocky IV. I don't know if I've seen Rocky IV.
Is Rocky IV the one where a robot shows up as a Christmas present?
Probably.
Then I've seen it.
It's Drago. It's Ivan Drago.
It feels right.
If he dies, he dies?
Yes.
Okay.
But I have been at wrestling matches where a Russian guy was fighting an American guy and someone yelled, if he dies, he dies. From the crowd. So, I'm ready.
Me too.
Before we get to Rocky IV, so again, Rocky IV is going to be next week. As you're hearing this, you can go on Twitter right now and vote on our movie draft, and that will be the following week, but the next thing you hear will be our holiday spectacular on Rocky IV. Before we get there, Gravity, October 4th, 2013, what was the number one movie in America?
The number one song in America?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Justin Timberlake.
No.
Drake.
No.
Rihanna.
No.
Beyonce?
No. Just tearing through.
Blurred Lines.
No.
Ooh.
Much of the year.
I was just going to say, I'm like, what was I listening to in 2013? That song, every other song
remember.
On the radio.
A longer period of the year than you would like to remember.
I can't even place myself in 2013. I don't know.
2013 is pretty vivid in my mind because that was when I stopped hating living in Cape Town.
10 years ago.
We were using a particularly inappropriate metaphor to describe astronauts getting hit by a field of debris. You might say, boy, that stuff
hurts.
What force and...
Gravity? Wait, we were talking about a movie called Gravity.
What force and fury that stuff arrived with and then hit them really hard. It was almost as if it...
Cannonball.
Close.
Wrecking ball.
Wrecking ball.
Yeah, Miley Cyrus.
Almost as if it came in like a wrecking ball. The video where Miley Cyrus said, I will be naked for the whole thing so everyone knows I'm a grown-up now.
Except and grown-ups for now she's are got naked. A song about how she used to be young and that's why she was naked on a wrecking ball.
Oh, sweet.
Wait, what?
Her current hit is hit. I don't know. It's called I Used to Be Young, and she should have sold it to someone with a better voice. That's my hot take.
Yeah, we just keep being, she just keeps assaulting us with like, okay, Miss Reinvention. Like this is what, but it's never just like a subtle, like Madonna. She just comes and does her shit. Like, yes, we reinvented yourself. That's fine. But Miley has to write a fucking song about it and
listen,
send a press release.
I'm ready for Miley Cyrus to have a fake British accent.